my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Yes, yes, again, another greeting from Haiti. I'm going to be here for a little bit longer than was originally scheduled, but absolutely in the perfect time and plan of God. You know, I mean, one thing that I continue to learn more and more is just the need to be able to just flex and go with God wherever it is the Spirit of God wants you to go. We are wind people, as John chapter 3 calls us. We're people that flow with Him. So when He goes right, we go right. When He goes left, we go left. When He stops, we stop. When He says move, jump, get your butt up and go, you go. And, you know, that is something that we get very accustomed to. We get very familiar with. And we actually look for that. Because God is constantly moving. God is constantly flowing with His people and those that know how to walk with Him. Those that don't know how to walk with Him like that, they just haven't learned to trust Him yet. Because, you know, when you trust Him like that, He takes you through a process. And the process is part of your refinement to become a reflection of Him. But in the process of you becoming that refined reflection of Him, He'll take you through everything of who you once were and who you are in yourself apart from Him to bring you to the end of that. Yeah, you know, I got a scripture. Been thinking about this one. Okay, go to Matthew 28 and verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." Okay, well, cool to know that He is with us even to the end of the world. And also point to note that the world will end. So, point to note, the world will end. So, I mean, anyways, so don't get dismayed about all the things that are going on around you and all the perplexities of stuff happening, because surely these things must come. Surely these things have been prophesied. Surely all of the stuff Jesus has said, and even in the process of giving us a clue way in advance of what would be coming up in His Word, quickening us by His Spirit even in this time to tell us what's coming so that we know and that we're not caught unawares, setting up His prophets and His messengers in place, those that really walk with Him, that give the heads up, that confirm what He's already speaking to your spirit, not the fake ones. All of that's there for what? So that you would have peace, so that you would continue to trust, knowing that your Heavenly Father has all things in control. And He knows exactly what He's doing, and you are here absolutely on time in the absolute perfect right spot as a child of God about the purposes that God has for you in this time, in this age. You're not here to make a home, and you're not here to make this world your home, I should say, and this world your permanent resting place. You're transitioning through this place the way that it is right now because God intends for it to be that way. But in the process, He's teaching you something. He's revealing something to you about Himself, and He's also showing you something about who you are apart from Him, so that you are so grateful every moment of eternity for what you have when you are in Him and consummated in Christ Jesus. Okay, back to the scripture. This is cool. I was looking at this. Verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him." All right, cool. So they went back to the place where Jesus the first time called them and separated them unto himself. You know, I thought about this thing about coming full circle. You know, God takes us. He takes us through these seasons, these windows, these so many things with God works in cycles. It's pretty cool. You have 24 hours in a day. You've got 7 days in the week. You've got the months. Then you've got so the cycle of the month. Then you have the cycles of the years. Then even in God's timing and calendar, you've got the year of Jubilee, you've got the 1,000-year reigns, you've got all kinds of... So there's all kinds of stuff with God that works in cycles, where you come back and you've completed a round and you start again, and yet it's different. It's, you know, you come back and you've gone through some things, and you come back to this place, this touch point, where now it's like, okay, let me stop for a second and look at this whole thing all over again. So when Jesus called his 12 to himself, our first thing that he did, the first thing that he did with even you and I, was he separated us unto himself. See, before you had Christ in your life, you were just part of that mass of people walking around through this world aimlessly, just trying to make some reality that looked good, felt good, just made some sense to you, completely in the dark. And when God woke you up and saved you, saved me out of that mess that people call a life, and brought you unto himself, what he did was he took us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and he separated us unto himself for those that would heed the call. Now, when he did that, you and I went from being part of the crowd to with him. The crowd's still there, but now you went from being part of that crowd to now with him. You're standing now with Christ. You now are part of what he is doing. It's a pretty cool thing when you make that transition. But that's the starting point. And what he did with them, think about it. From that point on, when he separated them to be his disciples, he then took them through so many sets of experiences. You've got them walking with him. You've got them watching how he handles the stuff with the Pharisees. You've got him, Jesus, walking on the water, and them in the whole middle of the storm. You've got him multiplying thousands to feed the 5,000, plus all of the wives and the children and everything else that's there. So you've got all of that stuff is going on. They're seeing this. They're watching this. They're relating to it. Jesus being rejected from going into that one city, and the sons of thunder wanting to call down fire from heaven, and Jesus having to rebuke them. Also, they're going through a whole set of experiences. They're going through life with him. And the clincher on that whole thing was the crucifixion. So Jesus was doing all of that, but leading up to the cross, leading up to the purpose that he came into this world for, which was to redeem mankind unto himself, to pay the price in full with his own blood, so that you and I would be able to have connection with the Father and be what God made us to be. So he's gone through all of this, and in the process, here these guys are with him. Then, because they don't have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that makes that transformation working in them, you know, through, so they try to in their best effort, but they can't, so they fall away in the difficult hour, and they abandon Jesus. And then Jesus rises from the dead, restores them unto himself, and now here they come back to that mountain. In verse 16, they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had pointed them. And God will take you full circle. He'll take you through the mill. He'll take me through the absolute mill, where you come to the end of yourself. And as you do, and he goes through that whole thing, and there's a moment in time where now you stop and you look at all that's come before, and you, and just like Jesus, you know, he had many circles inside that whole time too. You remember when Jesus sent out the 72, he also sent out the 12 ahead of him, and when he sent them out, he gave them power and authority to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. You remember when they did that and they came back, and that was a cycle. And what he did with them in that cycle was he asked them, okay, when I sent you out, you know, without, you know, did you lack anything? Did you, he stopped them for a moment. Just check. Was my promises true? Were they fulfilled? Did everything that I say that was going to happen, did it happen? And when they stopped and they looked at it and they responded, they said, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. We were taken care of. We had everything that we needed. Your power was manifest, and it did exactly what you said it would do. And they were just, and when they stopped and they actually saw, they're like, wow, you know, God, you are in control. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have this whole thing. It's all in your hands. And so this is a bigger one. So that's a small point of reflection and time. And he kept doing that as he's teaching people. But here's kind of like the big evaluation after going through that whole thing. And Jesus brings them back to the same place where he called them in the first place. And he says to them, well, basically, I mean, it's a point of recommissioning them. It's a point of okay, you know, let's go back through this whole thing. Here's what it is to be my disciple. Here's what it is to follow me. Here's what it is to be mine. You've seen it now. You've gone through it all. You know. And you know what? And even the whole thing about, yeah, I rose from the dead. So even with that whole process of them going through all of that and then them being able to stop and to say, all right, this is what it means to follow Christ. The ups and the downs, the highs, the lows, the power, the attacks, all of that, the walk, the adventure, everything too that comes as part and parcel of it, and to the epitome and the conclusion that you are walking each and every day towards your own death and demise to this world, to be found in him and to be born and to be emerging basically what he made you to be. So the resurrected Christ comes back to them and says to them in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And so you get that. You get that time where now you stop and you look and you have a chance to reflect back. And if you've been walking with them, you can ask that question. Have the promises of God been true and faithful? Has he done what he said he would do? And if you have questions about that, then you take those before him. And you say, Lord, I got a question about this. Because you want to have an accurate understanding of what it is that God said. Because there's too many people that have shipwrecked their faith because they had an incorrect understanding of something that they thought God said. And so when something happened so that they weren't wealthy and healthy, that all of a sudden now that things did not meet my expectations, so now I'm going to go do something to myself and that'll show God. Okay, anyways, yeah, that's a whole nother subject. But you want to know what God said. See, all right, for example, you know, even my time here, you know, throughout this time, you know, there's been people that have been praying for me. And, you know, there's been certain things that they have prayed for. And, you know, in that process of praying for me and praying for God's health and protection, you know, I have been, you know, as far as like, you know, the type of traditional getting sick sort of thing, I've been healthy the whole time I've been here. But I did get hurt there for a few weeks ago. And, you know, in that process of that, it's like, okay, if I was to, first of all, I know how it is that I'm praying. I know how it is that I'm walking. And I know the God that I serve. So if I lose track of that because my external circumstances and my external situation didn't quite meet my expectation, and now I've slipped from spirit into something carnal. I've slipped from spirit into something temporal because I've been tricked. I've been pulled out of that inner place that God would have me to go deeper within. Instead of going deeper within, I've gone without, and I've judged my life based on my external circumstances. When things don't happen the way you think they should, that's when you should reevaluate the way you think things should be. You gotta ask. Go deep within and ask. Because see, right there, when something difficult comes up. Because actually, for me too, in one way, I was like, you know what, this assignment is actually pretty, going really smooth. And things are just moving along at a pace. And I was feeling really good about how stuff was going. And all of a sudden, wow, bam. And it was a spiritual attack too. It was an attack that God allowed to get through. But why? Because there is that scripture, Romans 8:28, that God causes. In fact, let me go there really quick. Romans 8. Hold on. Hang on a second. Got to flip here. Okay. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Okay, so when Paul wrote that to the church in Rome, first of all, we know. So we know. How do we know? Because we've been through this before. We've gone through this time and time and time again, where we've been through a difficult situation that externally and in the natural seemed like something really tough, but as we've just walked through it a little bit further, a little bit longer, held on, not questioned God, His goodness, His faithfulness, His love, His care for us, not question Him in that, in the middle of an experience that might be slightly unpleasant, but held on. We know, because as we've walked just a few more steps and we've looked back, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So You know, there has to be a little bit of clarification there too, because there's a lot of people that say that they love God, but there's a distinction here. And a lot of people, oh, I love God. Okay, no, but just to clarify who those, to those that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yeah. So, the many are called, but the chosen are few. So God, He's putting that stuff out there for those that are His. And we know that, see what happens, even for me in this whole thing, I've seen just, well actually, two things for sure right now, just that come right now to the top of my head, that would not have happened, that have been extremely positive things, that would not have happened had I not gone through that experience. Now see, here's something too, that, see, the devil doesn't know what he's doing when God allows something to get through with him. See, okay, if you're walking with God, you're walking in holiness, you're walking and your armor's on and you've got the shield up, and you, so you're walking with him like that. You're on. And you are hidden in Christ. His glory is your rear guard. You've got angels surrounding you. All of that is there. So, and you infuriate the enemy when you walk through this life and he can't touch you. He can't go after you. Everything that he throws at you, it's bouncing off. It's deflecting to the side. So he's going nuts because if he can see you at all, because sometimes God just hides you. But when he gets the chance to take a pot shot at you, oh, he'll take it, and he will throw the best that he's got at you in that moment of time if he can get it through. Now, here's something about when you go through something. If you go through something because you are walking with Christ, it will be short-lived. And it will have long-term, if not everlasting, benefit. So you will have a short-term period of trouble. And small technical glitch there, but okay. So the thing about suffering, when people suffer, one thing, first of all, Jesus promised, in this life you will have trouble, so take heart. So suffering is guaranteed. This is something that you know everybody is going to deal with in this world and in this life. But there's two types. You can go through, and you can face trial and difficulty as part of your walk in Christ, as part of being in Him and using and allowing that to take you deeper within, through the path that God intends, so that you be transformed into His image and to His likeness. Or you can suffer meaninglessly with the rest of the world that's on this greased pole to hell, where basically people just undo their lives and destroy themselves, and everything that they go through is this never-ending process of just going from bad to worse, all the way to the grave. So now, okay, when we go through, when you walk with Christ, you will go through some stuff, and you got to know that. You have to resolve yourself to that. So when you walk with Christ, you will go through. You're gonna have things come up that are going to be difficult and trials and heavy. And when that happens, the thing that you got to know is you got to hold on through that. The Romans 8 that we look at, Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love Him. And so he does that. And this is God working behind the scenes in the difficult circumstances. See, we only see that one picture, that one frame, but God sees the entire movie. So you just see the frame or that 1 minute clip of where you are right now. But you got to realize that God is in control. And if you can just hold on through this experience and make it to the other side, that you'll see what God was doing with it. And you'll see also how He uses that. Now, here's the thing too. Sometimes you may not see it right away. Sometimes you may not see it 10 years later. Sometimes you might not see it 50 years later, or even to the point where you cross into eternity and then you realize, you're like, oh my gosh, that's what it was for. But see, this is part of also your life not being your own. See, when your life is hid in Christ Jesus, now, and your life now, the life that you live is no longer yours, but Him living through you. And now it doesn't matter. See, the pressure is taken off. Because now you don't have to create a reality that works in this life. You receive from His hand what it is that He has for you. And you allow Him to create and to shape the reality that you now would live. And it just so happens that the reality that He shapes for you to live is the most abundant, fulfilling life you could ever imagine. Does that make sense? Because you have to know that once you allow Him to shape all of the rest of that for you, He takes it, and He takes that, and now He knows what's best for you. He knows what will fulfill you. He knows where you are strong, where it is that you can make the impact that He wants you to for His kingdom and purposes, where He would have you to shine bright in a very dark place. He knows that. And so He can use you now onto those ends when you let go of the reins of your life. See, something that you have to know and recognize and understand is that your will be done in your life. So even when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, Lord, they asked Him, Lord, how do we pray? And He said, okay, you want to know how to pray? Pray like this. He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now why did He teach Him to pray that part? Well, part of it was, you have to make the decision to yield your will to the will of God, to ask for the will of God in your life. See, God won't override your will. He doesn't want robots serving Him. He wants people that of their own free will, decision, and choice have chosen to bow their knee before Him and say, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. He wants people that have allowed for the free flow of His Spirit through them. And those are the people that He will work with. Those are the people that He will use for His purposes. He's not going to use others. Like, He's not. What He'll do with the rest of them is He will use them in spite of themselves, not flow with them. Prime example is Pharaoh in Egypt during the time of the Exodus and Moses. God will use them in spite of themselves, and He'll still get the glory out of that situation. But that person will just be a puppet on the stage that God will make an object lesson out of for His purposes, because He's going to get the glory out of all of it. Everything. And every world leader that stacks themselves against Him, you got to be absolutely crazy. You got to be... I mean, it's to stand there like a puny human being with breath in your lungs that is borrowed from God, that He's going to claim back from you when your time is up and when when you check out, to stand there and to use the very breath that God has allowed to be in your lungs to then speak a word against Him. I mean, just, oh, you got to be kidding me. The very body that He's allowed for you to exist in and to use that for the things that you do, you have to be kidding me. I mean, the insanity of it. I mean, it's amazing God's patience. And it's amazing that He just allows people to go on for as long as He does. But He gives them space to repent. He gives them space to make their decision. And you know what? A lot of times what they use that space for is just to fill up the cup to the full. To make it absolutely, eternally clear that this is their choice. This is their destiny. This is who they are and what they're about. And they don't want anything to do with the Son of God. But for you, the child of God, for you, the son and daughter of God, for you, the ones walking with Him that are destined to inherit the earth, yes, inherit the earth, you're destined to walk with Him as sons and daughters of righteousness. You know what the funny thing is with all of these guys? These clowns that are running around. Okay. In all of their goal to try to claim this and claim that and take credit for whatever, the problem is, and even their stake on land and places. Now, the earth is wearing out like a garment. God, when He finishes this whole round of everything that He wants to do, do you think these people that think that they own something now, that have also raised their fist against Him or turned their back on Him, they don't own any of it? They can hardly squat on it for the duration of their lives without everything beginning to fall apart on them in the meantime. God's going to shake them all off in His season, in His time, and restore His creation unto those that are His, that He intended it for. So in God's time, but it'll be a new heaven and a new earth, a new way, a new reality that comes from Him. But oh my gosh, I mean, you know, so it's just, you know, don't worry too much about these guys. Yes, speak what God has for you to speak, because that's part of what He has us here for. He has us here as a witness and an ambassador of the kingdom of God. He has us here as a group of people that show there's another way. That when people see us and see our lives, that they have no choice but to admit, especially when they see how time and time and time again God will take care of and provide for and watch over us and use us for the most amazing things. They have no choice but to admit, even begrudgingly, even with gritted teeth, that there is a God, that we serve Him, and that He is above all. So, you know, now, God uses these things that we go through, though, and you can't be afraid of them. You can't be afraid of experiences. You can't be afraid of what it is that would come your way that you may not know and you may not be able to control. God is in control, and that's what you got to rest in. Whenever you go out and you go out trusting Him, you go out knowing that He is in control of the bigger situation. And as long as you are being led by Him, that's the key. Just make sure that you know in your heart that this is Him taking you in this direction. As long as you're being led by Him, you're fine. You're fine. He is going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to make a way where at times things will seem like there is no way. And in the process of all of that, you're going to be refined by Him and become more and more the reflection that He wants you to be of Him in the earth. Now, in that process, God will take you through cycles. And as He takes you full circle and you come back, when you also come back having learned something, you also come back knowing something. When you do, he's going to take that, and as you leave that at his feet and allow him by his spirit to make sense of those things, so that you now can understand, so that it can go from not just a sense, but now to wisdom and knowledge that you now operate out of as you move forward with him, that he recommissions you. He recommissions you. And to his people, just like he said to the disciples, he says, all power. Jesus, verse 18 of chapter 28 of Matthew says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So God is with you, and he's with us, and he is in control. All power is his. And you know what? When you go through those cycles of life, when you go through those seasons, stop and ask yourself and reflect and look back. And when you've been walking with him, and you've been walking with him for a little while, and you look back 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, however long, 10 years, 50 years, when you look back and reflect and see how time and time and time again, God has taken care of you. He's watched out for you. He's allowed your life to have purpose and meaning and reason for being. Yeah. God's, you know, when so many times in the Old Testament, when they would go into different places or they would travel, they would set up pillars or stones, they'd stack stones on each other as a monument. You know, when they crossed over the Red Sea, you know, one thing that they did was they set up, when they got to the other side, they set up stones on top of each other as a monument of what God had done. So when people went through there in the years that would come, and they looked back and they said, well, what's this all about? Then people could go back to and reflect and say, you know what? This is when God split that sea so that all of the children of Israel could come out. So the million plus, just a lot of people crossed over. And this is how God did it. He created a way for them. And so they would look at that monument that was set up, that those pillars that were set up there, as a remembrance of what God has done. Knowing and understanding that what God did yesterday, he can surely do today, above and beyond all you can ask, expect, or think. But you gotta trust him. You gotta trust that your Lord will take care of you. You gotta trust that he loves you, and you gotta trust that every hair on your head is counted, and he knows them, and not one of them will fall to the ground without his say-so. So, you know, as God is taking you through that, because we're in cycles, and as you're going through that, embrace it. Embrace the experience for what it is. Embrace the process that God has for you for what it is. And when pain comes your way, ask God, what do I do with this? When you go through, ask God, what do I do with this? And he'll show you. Sometimes there's a certain way you got to pray for something. Sometimes it could be just physical. Sometimes you may be getting attacked. Sometimes, that circumstance is just the circumstance you're in. And God wants you to walk it through, because when you walk it through, you come to the other side of that, you're blessed because you see His faithfulness. So, yeah. I just pray and I bless you in Jesus' name, and I pray right now, Father God, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you bless them. I pray that you keep them strong in you, Father. I pray that they would rest in you. And Lord, even as you bring them, Lord, full circle, Lord, I pray that each and every one that looks back would look back, Lord, seeing and knowing and understanding, Father, your hand and your heart for them, Lord, your hand continuing to lead and guide them, and your heart of love for them, for what you've made them to be. So, Lord, thank you, Father God, for each and every one listening in. And I pray that you bless their lives as they look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, love you. God bless you. And I'll catch you again soon. All right. Bye.